beloved, the Father of Light, is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Noah's excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Father, we thank you again. The topic he would have spoken with us today, and I guess I may not be able to finish it. If I finish it, he's going to have to look for another one next week. Praise God. It's like a continuation of where Pastor Jayola stopped. But Jayola spoke to us much about glory. And like I said, so much still lies in that place. For me, as a person, I am quite curious about how God wants to finish this work that is started in Genesis, which amplified when Jesus was raised from the dead. I'm very, very curious. I've been asking questions. I've been looking at scriptures. And every time I come, I get across some kind of scripture that gives a clue. It's just a clue, but yet it still does not come together. I'm trusting God to come together in Jesus' name. So the topic he wants us to look at is how do we receive, or receiving the glory of God. Receiving the glory of God. Maybe are you ready? Can you roll to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14? Receiving the glory of God. Don't forget that we are considering the riches and glory of his kingdom. That is what we have been considering and will be considering for the next year. God helping us. He said that Adam had the glory. The whole creation more or less was covered, and it was covered in a kind of glory, but there was a glory that Adam had. And he said here that Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. If you look at the history again, the story again in Genesis, what you probably read was that Adam ate the fruit because, you know, the serpent deceived both of them. But Paul said there by the Spirit that Adam was not deceived. Praise God. That's a story for another day. But the important thing is that immediately Adam ate that fruit, whatever was his covering, whatever was the glory that covered him, because we know in Psalm 8, Psalmist was asking, was saying that, what is man that you are mindful of him? Can you please run to that place? Hallelujah. Can you go to that place? I beg your pardon. Psalm 8. Okay, say, O Lord, our Lord. Are you reading the right KJV? Is it, O Lord, our Lord, or O Lord, our God? Is, O Lord, our God. O Lord, our Lord. It is, O Lord, our God. How excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hath set thy glory above the heavens. Verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou art ordained strength because of thy enemies, that thou mayest still the enemy and the avenger. Verse 3. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou art ordained. Verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Verse 5. He said, for thou art made him a little lower than the angels, but art crowned him with glory and honor. So what separated Adam from the rest of creation was that he was crowned with glory and with honor. But after he ate of that fruit, the scripture says, and their eyes opened, and they were both naked. Praise God. Now, I don't want to go into all that, because that's not the essence. The important thing I want to draw from that story is that the Bible said, that glory was given, was a covering for him. He lost that glory. That glory more or less died or disappeared and ceased to exist. And so he was exposed to the elements was exposed to everything. And since then, that has been a recurring problem for humanity. Until Jesus came back, we never really heard of any man that carried any significant glory. Praise God. When I talk about glory, I'm talking about that visible presence, tangible presence. Hallelujah. But you see, we will come to that. So when we talk about receiving glory, we are asking ourselves, what is the process that has been instituted in the kingdom for men to access this glory again? Hallelujah. The way it is, in the beginning, you realize that when he was created, the Bible says God crowned him with glory. After the new birth, it does not appear as if man was giving that kind of glory. There was a program by which he should now receive the glory. I don't know whether you understand that. It's no longer automatic. Effort is involved. Your intentional decision to engage is involved. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? I'm not ruling out the place of grace. Amen. I'm only saying that something from your own decision to engage God is required. Praise God. Are you with me? So it's no longer free of charge as it was with Adam. Amen. So in John chapter 3, verses 3 to 6, when Jesus was having that conversation with Nicodemus, he told him that the only way we can start your journey for you is that first of all, we must open your eyes. Praise God. Because the truth, let me say, I don't know how you may see it. There's what they call exposure. Are you with me? If you are not exposed, there is very little thing your mind can grasp. Do you follow me? For example, if you have never seen a good car, all your life, what you have seen in the village was jalopy. You never dream for any better thing than that. I don't know whether I'm making sense. They now take you from the village and bring you to Lagos or Abuja, and you see car, and you faint. Praise God. I don't know whether I'm making sense. What has happened? Praise God. All right, you want to switch over. Technically, I want to switch over. All those on online, God bless you. Thank you for joining us this evening. We are trying to switch over to a better way of doing things. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can I continue to preach? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. I hope you can hear me at all. Okay. So the thought I was bringing forth is about exposure. We cannot, just Christ told Nicodemus, what he was sharing with Nicodemus, he said, if I've told you things that are earthly and it's strange to you, why will you cope when I start telling you about things that are heavenly? Praise God. This one that he shared was out of this world. Hallelujah. Because the man asked the question, will I have to go back into my mother's womb to be born again? Things that you and I are taking for granted was not so simple for many people to appreciate. Why? Because you and I have now been exposed. We can now grasp those concepts. Praise God. But there are other concepts still in the realm of the spirit that everyone is still having difficulty downloading to us because our minds have not yet been opened. Amen. So for me, I see a correlation between veils being removed and people being born again. Amen. I believe the born again experience is not once. Do you follow me? Because for every move you make into the realm of the spirit, for every progress you make, veils must be removed. Eyes must open. Amen. Because they said, except you are born again, you cannot see. Amen. For every move, every sight you have, certain veils must be removed. Certain positional narratives must be discarded. Certain beliefs must be put aside. Certain cultural positions you have held on to, you must be born again over that matter.
Am I making sense here? It's not as if you are born again for salvation, as it were. Are you with me? It's not that you must shift. Eyes must open. So there's a correlation there that you and I must pay attention to. So for example, when Paul was, when we're talking about meat and milk, praise God, it's okay for you to assume that everybody, God wants everybody to die very well. Amen. You know, you should just die, sleep and everything. But how do you explain to a young convert that God may sometimes want you to be killed to get him glorified? How do you explain that? Are you with me? That will be difficult for him to swallow. That's why it's called meat. It's not that you speak a message and people are confused. No. It's about you understanding certain things that is in the sovereignty of God to do. He told Peter that when you were young, you went anywhere you wanted to go. But when you become old, they will lead you to where you don't want to go. Thus signifying the kind of death you should die to do what? To glorify God. Honestly speaking, I don't know how Peter's death glorified God. Amen. More so when you consider the promise that you shall not die but live. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? So, see, in that sense, I, for example, need to be born again to accept that new position. But it was good at the time when I gave my life to Christ that Jesus will take care of you, which is true. Amen. Even sending Peter to go and die, was still God taking care of Peter. Praise God. But how many can you use that? Go and do that. Use that as a preaching template for evangelism. You won't get anybody saved. They will just walk away from you. Praise God. So do you understand what I'm trying to say? That eyes being opened, that there is a correlation. So let's back up to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to look at verses 7, verses 13, and verses, according to what I have here, verses 7, 13, and 18. Hallelujah. So we are seeing that God intends to transfer his glory to man. Just similar to what he did with Moses. Are you there? All right. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, praise God. Please pay attention to this. Let me know how far I can move. He said, what Moses handled was a ministration of death. What does that mean? How can Moses' ministry be a ministration of death? What was the problem? Now, you cannot get an answer to this except you go back to his thesis he wrote to the Romans. Amen. So what was supposed to bring life brought me death. Praise God. That was it they saw. Chapter 7 said it a lot. He explained that I wanted to do what was good, but I found another law in my path. So I did not know sin until the law came. And when the law came, what did the law do? The law slew me. So that made it a ministration of what? Of death. But we did not know what that meant. But people said even with that simple fact, that thing, instead of helping them, it was actually killing them. Amen. He said, is the law wrong? Said no, the law was holy. Amen. How can somebody who's holy be killing people? Now we didn't understand that mystery yet, till he came and said it was not the problem of the law, the problem was with men. Praise God. He said, what was the problem with men? He said, the flesh rendered the law ineffective. Not even effective, the flesh neutralized the law. So instead of the law bringing life, it killed. Because the law demanded that you obey or die. Is that not the law? That was the law. But it was supposed to give them life. The original intention was for it to give them life. But instead, rather than giving them life, it killed them. Praise God. And so, in order not to destroy the whole of Israel, he had to raise a priesthood order for them. Do you follow the whole something? That was why the priesthood order was raised. Was primarily to keep them from God dying. But the primary thing in that law was that it was supposed to produce a righteousness. I don't know whether I'm still making sense here. It was to do what? to produce a righteousness. So you say that that righteousness is tied to something, which we'll come back to. Amen. He said, but if that ministration that was engraven in stone was glorious, oh my goodness, that thing had glory. Amen. He said, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance. We talked about that last week. Moses went up for 40 days, came back. I don't know how long it takes to write 10 sentences. The first line, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all thy heart and with everything and with all him thou shalt serve. How long did it take me to talk it? And he wrote 10. And by the time we calculated the days, it was already 40 days has passed. As far as Moses was concerned, he probably spent up to 10 minutes in that place. Which suggests to us that the realm of the spirit does not measure time. If you enter that realm, you don't know time. Praise God. So, but the Bible says that probably Moses was reading it as they were writing it. He must read it now. Are you going to go to that kind of meeting and you not read what they are giving to you? No, most of us don't read. We don't read agreements. We don't read. How many of you have gone to the internet and you are asked to tick that box? You have read the terms and conditions. How many of you read it? Marco, I said, go, you. Because I trust that I will enter trouble. Praise God. I don't read it. Amen. Until the day you enter trouble, you can't do that one with such a, you go to bank and go and borrow money and you don't read it. You are technical, you are on your own. So embedded, and they are so wicked, they write it with tiny, tiny letters that you need a magnifying glass. Not this type, a magnifying. I mean, Sister Nike, magnifying glass. And these people do the same too. These people, insurance people. Mama B, you're welcome. They do the same. They will just put one simple, one small clause. You now come, ah, where's my money? They said, did you read clause 19.45? Where is it? They now pull it out. Say, did you read it? Ah, it is there. You have been scammed. You didn't read it. So for Moses, I must give it to him. He read. And he was reading, I was reading it. And by the time he came down, his face was shining. I asked last week, why was it his face and not his whole body? Praise God. Why was this his face and not his body? I don't have an answer yet. But I'll keep asking until the Spirit tells me. Amen. So they could not behold his face for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. Praise God. When Moses had... Okay, continue verse 8. Verse 8. He now said, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Amen. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory... Not that, it did not say it was glorious, it is glory. Amen. To tell the truth, that operation of Moses' testament was, wow, that was glory. Now, glory, I don't know how to define glory. I can understand in Yoruba when you say Ogo. But what is Ogo? Because the truth is that you have not seen one before. Neither have I seen. To describe it to you. But when you see glory, you will bow. They won't beg you to bow. You will just find that your knees will just go down. Hallelujah. When you see glory, hey, praise God. I believe it was the glory of Solomon that Jesus referred to. That woman saw it. That woman from Sheba, and that's when she fainted. Praise God. What she saw, only God knows. I don't know. But when you see whatever it was that that ark and that testament represented, that thing had power. It was visible. It was tangible. It was, there was evidence. Praise God. You don't joke. You don't play. People played with those things and they died. And so people use their foolishness to learn how not to go about handling that thing. Even after Moses had gone, David still thought it was a relic. Are you with me? They all carried the ark anyhow, threw it there, and the everybody was dancing. They were dancing. And God was there looking at them. Look, I know God was just looking at them. Let me deal with this boy. And I don't know whether it was the angel, though. Somehow that thing just climbed on one rock. And center of gravity shifted. Hallelujah. And that man said, a war. We must not see. The ark of God must never fall down. And if man, poor man, stretched his hand, he had good intentions. I believe David killed him. Because David should have learned the procedure. That man had no business around standing around that ark. Only the Levites, is it Levites or priests, could bear that ark on their shoulders. So anybody surrounding that ark should have been a priest. If a priest was the one to stabilize the ark, nothing would have happened to the priest. But the man was not a priest. So what was he doing beside that place? I don't know whether you understand. So that man said, Brother David should answer query. Praise God. Because he should have known better. But he didn't know. See, many of us are careless with God's things. And I thank God for mercy. But how long are we going to enjoy mercy in that regard? You know how many people tell lies in church today? They bold-facedly tell lies. They would even go, if Ananias and Sapphira should come again and weakness, he will say, God, you are wicked. This one's lie is more wicked than my own lie. Yet you killed me, but these people are enjoying mercy and grace. God, it's not fair now. Praise God. Okay, I will go back. Praise God. Let me run. So, he said, the ministration of condemnation, that thing was for their condemnation, was glory. How much more do the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory? Go to the, for even when, even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. And I begin to ask myself, what exactly is glorious about the New Testament? Praise God. Is it the power that we want to use in comparison? Is it the fear that people have and the dread people have for God? Somebody was sharing on Facebook, a friend of mine, I think the lecturer in Futa, said people don't fear hell anymore. I said yes, because we don't preach about it anymore. And I raised a pastor, he said, people's heart has become more, you can't preach it to them, their heart is stronger than hell. Hallelujah. Amen. So what is the glory? We talk and nothing really happens. We have to go to see one Baba to collect a foshe. I don't know if I'm making sense to you. Because they believe we are powerless. Because there's no glory. Now the issue is that, is the fault with the testament or is the fault with the practitioners of the testament? Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Moses was a custodian of the testament. Moses was a custodian and the person who administered the testament were terribly powerful. That thing that shone on the face was a sign of power. And I guess all the nations of the world heard about Moses. Praise God. I might communicate it. But in our days, nothing is happening. So we need to look at these issues and trust God to help us. So the Bible says, for if that which is done away with was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. He said the New Testament is much more glorious than what Moses carried. Hallelujah. So how does God intend to transfer that? Go to verse 18. How does he intend to transfer the glory? He said, please, remember that glory is resident where? Not in the ark. It was resident in the tablets. The tablets was the container of the glory. That glory was transferred from the tablets to his face. Am I communicating? There was something he was seeing. Now remember, he had asked God, show me your glory. God said, you can't see my face. And God hid him somewhere and closed the door. And he only saw God's backside. Did that transfer glory to him? No. He didn't transfer glory to him. He only saw mysteries of God's past. A little of his past. That's why they said he could write the first five books. Especially Genesis. That was how he was able to read Genesis. And wrote it down. Because God just stood in part. And he said, you cannot see my face. God, what contains that face is eons. Is there anything called eons on? Futures. Yet unborn. Can't see. If you see it, your mind will blow. You can't contain it. So my brothers, just stay at the back and be looking at that one. Now, let that one just continue. Now, that one that he wrote, God told Joshua, sit down with this. If you read this one, whatever it is you see will change you. That anywhere you go, nothing will stand before you. You can see that there is a connection between reading and mind formation. Pastor Bolu, you are welcome. It's good to be humble. I like it. Well, the Bible says, when you see that bad, they bring it to the front. Hallelujah. It's good to understand that our minds play a very, very serious role. Because Joshua was just simply supposed to read, this book of the law must not depart out of your mouth. Abi? In it, do what? Meditate day and night. Said then, what will happen to you? You'll be able to make your own way prosperous. Because you'll start taking decisions. There's a way your mind will start processing issues. And every decision you take, bam, my journey. But more than that, there will be a resident power that will use that of your life. Anywhere you tread, it's yours for possession. No demon in hell will stand against you. That man had five books. We have 66. Now tell me, what kind of person will you be? Amen. So we begin to see where the problem, I want us to begin to see where our problem lies. God will help us in Jesus' name. So you know the nature of our warfare. Your problem is not the witches in your village. Those ones are low-level operations. The one that is fighting us are princes in the air. We are fighting a mind war. Praise God. Because they know one thing, that if you can see into that perfect law of liberty, if you can see it, voila, we bust out. Do you know that the time this guy is walking into he came into a territory. He didn't cast out devil. He just came into a territory. And the madman of Gaza, is it Gazarene? He was somewhere. Jesus just landed by he and his disciples. He just landed. That demon pushed that man to look for Jesus. And as he saw Jesus, he began to scream, oh, Jesus, Son of God, what have you gone to torment us before our time? He was screaming. Jesus didn't call for him. He ran to my meet Jesus, and then he was complaining. Why did you come to torment us? Why did you come to torment us? It's not at our time. It's not that. See, and just Christ said they should keep quiet. Because, you see, it was a legal issue. And that, you see, as the time those demons were talking and addressing him by the Son of God, they were telling him that you have no jurisdiction on earth. This earth was given to the sons of men, not God. And he told him, the Son of Man, the Son of God, Adam gave it to me, and I give it to anybody I want to give. But your coming now is before the time. You have no right to come. Praise God. And that's why you kept seeing Jesus keep saying, Son of Man. Because he was telling them that I have jurisdiction to operate in the earth. It's legality. Praise God. And so, he now said, You can't cast us out. We can't go now. It's not yet our time. Because they have an idea when the time is now. Can't cast us. And I guess Jesus Christ will be looking at them. So what do you want us to do? Because we can't stay here. They didn't write that. It's me telling you. You can't stay in this guy's body. You can't stay. We cannot stay. We can't go to hell. Because it's not yet our time. So what do you guys want to do? They now looked and found, these are pigs now, sacrificing things unclean. Israel had no business keeping pigs. He said, let us go there. He said, yeah, go. They went there, you know the rest of the story. Praise God. And the man was made whole in his right mind. Please notice, it was his mind. You see mad people. And he said, they're out of what? Their mind. So the warfare you are fighting is how can we control your mind? If you control the man's mind, you control the man. Praise God. But by saying, but we all, everybody say we all, with open face, what are we doing? Beholding us in a glass. I don't think that was correct, because we all know that glass basically reflects your image. Amen. I think it was, I said, as beholding him as in a, what do you build? As in a TV. Is that okay? Is that okay? There was no TV there, but the man used glass. Praise God. Your TV screen looks like glass. Hallelujah. So we assume that you are beholding the face as in a glass. But do you also know that sometimes when you behold your image in a pool of water, it's your image you see. But there are times when some powers are involved, you don't see your image, you see another face. Praise God. You know you start to run. Glory to God. But I guess the idea here is that you are looking at him through a medium. Are you with me? You are looking at Jesus through what? A medium. It's not a perfect medium. Because you're not supposed to look at him through a medium. I don't know how many of us remember watch this film, The Clash of the Titans. How many of us the film, The Clash of the Titans? You watched it, Brother Enoch. Thank you. You watched it. There was a particular goddess. I don't remember her name. That had this. They said nobody can look into her eyes. The person will turn into stone. So when the guy was like, look, this Kraken was going to come out to take a sacrifice. That's what Zeus also said he must offer as a sacrifice. You can't alter that sacrifice, it must be given. That is the only way you can stop this is to bring out that Medusa or so to fight Kraken. Anybody that looks into her will come stones. That's why they come up with that word, the Clash of the Titans. They were all titans, but titans do titan love. Amen. So when that guy was going to take her head off, he used a shield to see her reflection, to be able to take her head off. I don't know whether I'm making sense. So in such a way, I don't know whether that's what he's saying here, but it's as if we are going to be looking at Jesus through a medium, not as if it's going to be direct. Praise God. So as in a glass, we are going to behold the glory of Jesus. Now, how do you get to see it through a medium? You now have to go back to where James. Where is that place in James? James talked about looking into the perfect word of law of liberty. Can you find that for me? Okay. He said this. Okay, thank you. Okay, let me take it from verse 24. For he beholded. Okay, let me take it from. Verse 22. But ye be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholded himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, and he not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Please pay attention to the process. He looketh into the perfect law of liberty. What does he do? A continuant therein. How does he continue? He does not forget. He does not what? Forget. But he is a what? A doer of the work. He called this thing work. Somebody asked about that on Sunday. Now, what are the works of Jesus that we must do? This is the work of Jesus that you must do. Amen. He also said somewhere, said, this is the work of the Father. Believe on him whom he sent. Praise God. Not you sweeping the floor, or not you, I beg your pardon, you know, running an errand from here to Lagos on your feet and say, I'm serving Jesus. No. You may just have been an idiot serving yourself. Praise God. Am I communicating? I was telling somebody on my way to Akumba this week, they said of a man who they were planning to do his burial, and my friend said, that man served redeem. And a caution ran in my spirit that it's possible to serve redeem and not serve God. It's possible. It's possible to serve church and not serve God. I said, except God has mercy and shows mercy, we will perish. If God does not help us, we will perish. It's a very thin line. You will think you are doing God's work. The people who were killing Jesus, if you see them today, they will swear to you that they were serving God. Praise God. The people that Paul said he stood and was a witness against Stephen. Muduro, this guy is already killing, and they threw their clothes at his feet as a witness. Killed that heretic, and they killed him, and he was happy that I have done the will of God. Hallelujah. If God did not intervene, Paul would have been the first candidate of hellfire, the new hellfire. There was one hellfire for Old Testament, the new one for New Testament. There is blood, more blood, bloodier than the Old Testament one. Praise God. That Old Testament in Hades, that is just a place of torment. The new one, amen. Emilosol, not Bible. Praise God. But a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So, how do these apostles see these things? Praise God. One said, you behold the Lord as true. Can you go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. We are beholding the Lord as if we are looking at him through what? A glass. And are you there? Go back. Just switch back. That should be undo now. Do I have undo? Okay. When you behold him, for every time you go to behold him, he says something. So you are changed. Into what? Into the same image. The change is not once. The change is not twice. The change takes place every time you go. Am I making sense? No, you don't. So, for example, you don't immediately form that image at your first glance. Or first encounter. Because there is a connection between image and glory. Praise God. I hope you have seen there's a connection. You say you are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Do you remember that when he made Adam and he said, let us make man what? In our own image and after our likeness. After Adam died in the garden, throughout the Old Testament, we didn't come across the word image. The only problem God had is that he told man, don't worship anything of image. Image of anything, don't worship it. Because they say it's confusion. It's error. It's wickedness. That the man he made in his own image should be bound to something that was made to be lower than him. I don't know whether you understand me. It was wickedness. It was confusion. And one of the apart from fornication, one of the greatest sins that God hated was people worshiping images. Praise God. And connected and associated with the word image is the word imagination. Am I communicating? Now, whatever it is you behold, you actually change into it. Why is it said that if you walk with the wise, you become wise? I mean, those of us, there are some of us who were stupid when we came to school. And then we began to work with those who were making sense in class. Hallelujah. And over a period of time, we too began to think like serious-minded people. I don't know what I'm talking to you. Do you know those kind of stories? Hey, what happened? People were changing because of what they were beholding. The way they were reasoning changed. The way they were acting changed. The way they were living their lives changed because they just simply changed relationships. Praise God. If you look, I really don't know. I have not done the test. Praise God. But have you wondered why your child will speak like you? I've not done the research. I'm not a sociologist. Neither am I a psychologist. But I suspect that if we can take somebody's child and make that child live with somebody else, over time, that person will behave with the person that he's living with. He will take the same mannerism. He will talk alike that person. He will begin to reason like that person. So much so that the day will come, you will stand and say, you resemble your father. How has he resembled his father? Because of what he has been seeing. And he will talk like him. Like I talk like my dad. Somebody looked at me and said, you're a replica of your dad. I wonder who I could have been a replica of. Praise God. So there really is a connection here that as you keep building, an image is implanted. Your mind shifts. You now begin to understand what Paul was saying in Romans chapter 12. He talks about renewing your mind. It's a mind thing. The reason why we are being shut down is that the enemy is neutralizing us in our minds. Because the carrier of that glory, for every measure of image you carry, there is a measure of glory that comes with it. The problem is that we cannot manifest the glory of this New Testament because the custodian, the high priest of this testament is Christ. Praise God. Is the fullness, basically, it has the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He embodies the whole Godhead. Amen. And if he embodies the whole Godhead, you now understand that for you to carry the whole Godhead, you must just literally sit down with him until everything he has is passed on to you. Praise God. That's how it's supposed to be done. Then he now said this, but be not conformed to this world. That's the problem many of us. That is the distraction I was coming to. This is where we are being shut down. One of the people thought flesh is one of the major problems we have. Praise God. The world is the second problem we have. Satan is the third. But as I'm looking at, Satan is not even a major problem. Because once you say in the name of Jesus, every knee bows. Hallelujah. But flesh and world does not bow to the name of Jesus like that. Am I communicating? Because what does the world do? The world infiltrates your mind and fills your mind with veils and images. And those images alter the way you think. They alter and conform your mind to see things in a particular way. There are people that believe. Don't let me say it. Let me for another example. Praise God. No, let me go there. There's no hope in that direction. Praise God. So be not conformed to the world. Many of us love the world. And I can't preach on love of the world. This not tonight. That is what is shutting us down. Because if you are conformed, you see, that conformity is, you know what conformity means? It means they are pushing you into a mold. You are forming into a mold. You are changing into a mold. You are metamorphosing into something. Praise God. And so when you make that decision to give your life to Jesus, one veil is removed, but not all is removed, because many of us still love the world. That those are veils. They have to be peeling them one after the other. For some people, it's drastic. Someone like Paul, after his encounter with Jesus, he had a 180 degrees change. But not all of us have that kind of encounter. So when you are transformed by the renewing, what it means to renew? To renew means, I don't know the Greek word. It means to renew. Praise God. It's not a one-off thing. It's not one-off. Renewing, again, is like you are taking a part. For example, let us look at our lives and let us put them in compartments, right? There's a belief system that some of us run, for example, on marriage. Praise God. You came from a background where the woman must kneel down to greet you in the morning as you're stepping out of bed. Praise God. That's your world. And you come to church and we say, no, it's wrong. You now ask us, where is it written in the Bible that the woman must not kneel down and greet me? Hello? Am I making sense? Now, you may look at all of us and say, I am pastor. But there are people like that. I was reading this afternoon a news of a pastor beat his wife to death. Beat her to death, a pastor. And I was like, are you really serious? How did we get there? It was a mindset. Somebody formed that in his mind and he refused to renew it. I don't know whether I'm communicating to us. He didn't renew it. He didn't challenge it. Well, probably he goes in church. I mean, being in church, someone has told him, man of God, we don't do it like this. And he said, no, I can't take that nonsense from anybody. If my wife, I will slap her, I'll beat her, I'll kick her. Eventually she kick her and beat her and she gave up the ghost. It's in police station. When they put something around his neck, he will know that it was wrong. I tell you, get what I'm trying to say. And probably that God will use the story to teach other people also. Hallelujah. Which will help with the renewal of. So how do you renew your mind? You come to a place and say, this thought is wrong. And what do? You judge it, discard it, and accept a new thought pattern. Am I communicating? That's how you renew your mind. When that mind is renewed, it is based on that you will be able to prove. See, the will of God is not everything. See, the will of God is written in the Bible. But there are certain things that you have to make decisions over that are not clear-cut in the Bible. Am I saying so? Please, where is it in the Bible that tells us what you should eat each morning? Is it anywhere in the Bible? How many have read your Bible this morning and the Bible said, thou shalt eat ogbono this morning with a shell? Maybe it's your own Bible. By reason of a renewed mind, I prove it. I determine and I find that, okay, this is how the will of God should be. Praise God. Because that I can prove what is that good, acceptable and perfect. Praise God. Now, somebody tried to break this up. There's good will of God. There's acceptable will of God. There's perfect will of God. I don't know English. Praise God. Amen. But the little English I know that good is... What is the meaning of all this words? Is there a difference between good and acceptable? Eh? The will of God must be good. You have found that it's good. You have found that this will is now, this is what is acceptable to God. Hallelujah. And you have now found that, this is the perfect will of God. Amen. I'm simplifying it. I can confuse you. If I want to preach this message, I can confuse you. Praise God. Well, I choose absolution. Let's just simplify. Let's just assume he's saying the same thing. The will of God is good, acceptable, and what? Perfect. You have found it out. The will of God that I know, that is good and perfect. He says, husband, love your wife. There's nothing inside it. There's nothing. There's no good. There's no acceptable. There's no perfect inside that one. Everything is perfect. Do it. It's very simple. Praise God. But that is the only way you can know what is good. Because there are things that will challenge that position. There are cultural things, norms that will say, no, it's not right for you to do what you want to do. I don't know whether I'm communicating. Amen. So these are part of this issue of transferring glory. So it comes by you now looking at it and seeing Jesus in those writings. Praise God. Now, this is what I mean. I don't know whether you have read the Bible and you began to weep. Now, not weep like, no, you just bow. You just say, Jesus, we'll be with you. Jesus, we'll be with you. So that kind of, at that point, something has shifted in your heart. No, let me explain like this. When I've been reading it many times, but it dawned on me one day when they said to Jesus, Master, you are a good master. And they will be eulogized. He said, and guys, you are scamming me. He said, is it good that we should pay tribute to Caesar or not to Caesar? It sounds very simple. But the day the Lord opened my eyes and said, I said, these people are wicked. They are sons of hell. That is what they call the ultimate Luciferian wisdom. If it goes this way, I remember I played the draft or Ayo. Kosakoje, if you run, it will chop you. If you don't run, it will chop you. So what are you going to do? Just resign. And then I'll play the game. Praise God. And those top are bad. They will start from one corner of the board. By the time it's left, only two of your pieces are left. The game is over. Praise God. But I call that board run. It's nonsense. When I saw that, I said, yay. And I felt sorry for Jesus. That if he answered wrongly, it's game over. And Jesus too now said, bring me a coin. He said, whose inscription is this? He said, Caesar's. He said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give to God what belongs to God. And the battle at the mind, I give you that. That day, I was humbled. This is, no. You are not in our class. No. You are far, far above. Only God could have answered that question. Because the person who set that exam is not an ordinary person. I'm very sure those Pharisees were to look for those guys. They will want you to come and deal with this Jesus. They said, don't worry, we'll deal with him. When he finished with them, they all said they marveled. And I went back and said, no man spoke like him before. And they said, from that day, they did not ask him any question. Amen. When your heart begins to shift at the revelation of something. Now, see, that, and I can share many with you about my own personal experiences. Things just pop out and just say, Jesus. 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 Hey. Ugao. So when I came around some of my friends and were getting the impression that we don't read gospels, we read epistles. I shake my head, but these people are blind. If you read Jesus' narratives about Jesus, you will know that it is far, far deeper than any revelation that Paul could have come up with. Praise God. Jesus was just giving out, please, did Paul explain eating my flesh and drinking my blood? That problem, they've not no mathematician has decoded that equation. What does it mean to eat? Even the mystery of the communion, the church is still grappling with it. We still don't understand the depth of it. So there are so many things you have to see. And as you see, that thing shifts a part of you. It shifts a part of you. It shifts a part of you. It changes a part of you. Sometimes it kills. Sometimes it activates. Sometimes it binds and strengthens you. Praise God. Like I told you of the time I had my own deliverance. from the spirit of lust. I just came to church on Sunday morning. And Bible reading, we're just reading Bible. And they were reading Romans chapter 6. And I got to that plot, and it says, and sin shall not have dominion over you. So it's as if a sword came into my heart and broke the chains. And that was how I was set free. Praise God. There was a shift in my nature. So the truth we have, the truth of the matter, is that many of us are distracted. Distraction is the key to keeping us down as men. Praise the Lord. I think I want to leave Pastor. Okay. In the New Testament, he has told us. Okay. Let me try and finish. I don't know whether he has more rev to share, but let me try and finish his message. The one I just told you was my own personal rev. Praise God. He said, in the New Testament, it's revealed that Jesus is the brightness of God's glory. Hebrews 1:3. Who be the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Again, I want to say this. Throughout the Old Testament, we never hear the word image propping up. After Jesus' resurrection, the apostles began to speak more emphatically about the image being restored. Praise God. I therefore came to a conclusion that what Adam lost in the garden was not the likeness of God. What was destroyed was the image that he bore. And that image is tied to glory. Amen. And that's what God is trying to restore. That image that, not what Adam lost basically, because Adam did not have that image of Christ. Paul wrote about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He was talking about, if we are born the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of what? The heavenly. We bore the image of the first Adam, we shall also bear the image of the what? Second Adam. And John said that we don't know what we shall be, but this we know, that as he is, so shall we be. Praise God. And how is he? The Bible says he has no bone, he has flesh and bone, but there is no blood in his veins. Hallelujah. He was the first among many brethren. So in the world to come, that's why in the resurrection, the Bible says, everybody's bones and flesh will return to him or her. Praise God. You are going to carry your body again. The earth will give it up. Everything will come back and carry it. You are not going to become spirits floating around. Am I making sense to you? We are not going to be that. We are going to have flesh and bone in that new Jerusalem. Praise God. That's why you are going to be able to eat. It shall be for the healing of the nations. Praise God. That body will need to be sustained in one way or the other. I don't know how they will sustain it, but it's going to be there. So I said that glory is seen where? In the face of Jesus. How do you behold the face? I've just told you that to look at, the revelation, the truth, let me say this, please. Can you see Jesus from Genesis to Revelation when you read it? Everywhere in the, see, there are certain, let me just say this again. I'm saying many things. Why did you think the people God raised to compile the Bible discarded certain writings and did not put certain writings? Have you heard about the seven books of Moses? You've heard about the book of Enoch and so many other hidden books. It was not that those books were not available when this Bible was compiled. They were there. But the people that God raised to compile the Bible went through them and could not see any divine inspiration in them. That's why they were discarded. And they were never included. So if anybody comes to tell you that there's one book of Enoch, is a powerful book, don't read it. It's occultic. To open your mind to the occult realm, and Satan will deal with you. Am I okay with that? Are you okay with that? Hey. So don't go and say you want to see Jesus Christ anywhere. Jesus is virtually in every book That's why those books were put there. Have you seen, can you see Jesus in the Songs of Solomon? The whole book of Songs of Solomon is the story of Jesus and the church. Solomon wrote it. That's why he's here today. Praise God. Allegory about the love of Jesus for his church. So Paul wrote to us, he said, as Jesus loves the church, so every man should love our wife as Jesus so loved the church. And washed her and gave his life for her. Hallelujah. If we use that standard to measure marriage, many of us will not pass through. Praise God. I want to say this. I just pray I'm not going to be misunderstood. Do you know that it's easier for a woman to forgive her husband when her husband sins, especially if he gets involved in adultery? The woman is expected to forgive the husband. Sure, you know. But if the woman is caught in adultery, the man will swear. Like, yeah, she's leaving my house. Hallelujah. That woman will leave. And the next Sunday, they will marry another woman for him. Praise God. And somebody said, Iro Kurini. I said, my brother, you are going to FIR. If you cannot forgive, then what are you preaching? Praise God. I'm not encouraging anybody to get involved in adultery. I'm only using that to explain to us that, do you know how many times we have been caught in adultery with the world and with demons and everything, and Jesus has not cast any of us out? You don't know that friendship of the world is what? Is enmity against God. And yet Jesus still tells the Father, it's my wife. I will take care of her. Praise God. I will wash her. I shall take care of you. Hallelujah. So it's quite difficult for us as pastors to really throw somebody away. But there are people whose hearts are very strong, that even pastors will say, we are tired. Please walk out. Just go. Give us peace. Hallelujah. We are humans. We are aliens. Jesus is the shepherd. we can be tired. Praise God. But I thank God for Jesus that he lived by the power of the endless life. So where am I? So you know, I will not finish this thing by God's grace so that Pastor P. Joshua can continue from where I stopped. Let me take this last thought and then we will go. He said here that it is very important to know that the means by which the glory is to be transferred to the church is by the Holy Spirit through the fivefold ministry gifts. Praise God. There is a place of you reading it. That forms a part. Praise God. But essentially, the methodology of transferring that to each of you is by the ministry gifts. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. 2 Corinthians. Now, he said, do we begin to commend ourselves, or need we as some other epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are what? Our epistle. Written in our hearts. Known and read of all men. Hallelujah. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by what? By us. Written not with what? Ink. The Old Testament was written with ink. Are you with me? Or the finger of God, as it were. Written, but with this one is written by what? The Spirit of the living God. Not on tables of stone, but what? In the fleshly tables of the heart. God wrote the testament on stones. He says, we as able ministers of this testament have the, is it not right? The duty. This is why the ministry gifts are different from every other person in the house. That's why you cannot wake up and say you're an apostle. It's not title. It's functionality. You have the ability to write. Amen. Can we continue verse 4? And so trust are we through Christ's God's word. Verse 5 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. 6. We also has made us able ministers of what? The New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. But the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Do you understand the skill of how to write a man's heart? Is it calling, is it gift, is it training, is everything? And so when a person stands to minister, he passes across certain enablements that come into your heart. Praise God. If you open, if you are receptive, if the teaching comes through to you, praise God. It takes time. That's why I found out that someone like, let me even use Pastor Kumuyi, goes over and over the same topic over and over again. Because I found that it takes time for people to grasp the truth, to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, it's not as if they've not heard it. They've heard it, but that thing has not sank in. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That thing has not become an action. I don't know how long Baba has been in ministry, but Baba has been in ministry for nothing less than 50 years. And he has been preaching only one thing. Be thou holy, for I am holy. That's what he has said. His whole ministry was predicated on that one verse. Be holy. And it has taken 50 years to try to write that on people's minds. Everything he says is coming back, be holy. Be what? Be holy. Yet, are you seeing holiness? Because something is blocking it from being written in the heart. And it's called the chaos of this world. The problems of this world is not allowing your mind to receive that thing and hold it until that thing becomes a part and parcel of you. Or that thing begins to produce the glory of the latter house. So much to say about glory. But that's how it starts. They must write it. And then we must begin to see the glory. Because there's a promise attached to glory. To holiness. Said, without it, no man shall do what? See the Lord. So if we are not seeing the Lord, something is wrong. That we are not, the thing was not connecting with you. I don't know how he did it, but I think the problem was that they tied holiness to physical appearance. The key to holiness is that sin has no dominion over you. Praise God. Dressing has a key to it too. Don't say, it doesn't matter, I'm holy. You're deceiving yourself. Your dressing, your outward appearance is a reflection of what is happening in your heart. How many of you have felt depressed and you went to your wardrobe and you brought out very fine looking dress to wear that day? Most of the time, you will look for a dress that is commensurate with your mood. So the day I see you dressed anyhow, I know that you are not happy. Check yourself. That is psychology 101 by Pastor. Amen. The day you are happy and you are, praise God, hallelujah, you just say that you just come out in blazing glory. You just say, man, you are handsome. Because you know it do. The difference is, don't buy an if you don't have, even your asho that is not good, there's a way you package it. Praise God. Then you know what you do. You wear one shoe, the leg would be for the second shoe. I mean, people wear shoes like that. He said something is wrong with this person. Because it's a reflection of what's going on in his heart. So if there's no holiness in the heart, you will see to your dressing. Praise God. And if there's holiness in your heart, we see it also in your dressing. We see it in the way you talk. We see it in the way you relate. We see it in the way you conduct your affairs. Praise God. It will show. It will show your prayer life. Then you can come out and say, I saw God yesterday night. What you cannot do wrong? God, where did the Spirit of God leave me to go and be replying? His holiness. Praise the Lord. So as we think about these issues, I'm trusting God that God will help us in Jesus' name. It's a mind thing. We must deal with this mind. The more you look at Jesus, the more you begin to see the things. For example, I want to finish. Praise God. But I'm just letting you know, how did Jesus handle certain problems in life? He said, cast your cares upon him. There's no way they caught Jesus distressed, confused. That one, you can look at him and say, if Jesus is not confused, me too, I cannot be confused. And now you're knowing there's a transference of that image into you. And then we're going to see you play it out on earth. And there's a kind of glory that people come to you and say, and you can worry. You can't mind saying, God, the whole world is so prayer, and you just say, it is well. Hallelujah. And your is well is not... Say no, it's not as if you are doing a religious packaging. No. You are just confident, go and sleep. I know God. That's one aspect of it. Are you with me? You have cornered that image. And there are so many like that you see in Christ. We must show it to you. That is why I tell people, the pulpit is not the place to preach MBA. That is not what it's meant for. We can do special programs for those of you who are in business, those of you that want to marry and all that. But our primary job is how to write that testament in your heart. Finally, should I conclude? Only God can help me. I need to go and look at that image of Jesus. That Jesus used to spend time on time. Praise God. Let me say this about, the more that you unearth from Jesus, the more that thing begins to alter you. And we have only David said 70 years. If by strength, 80 years. Hallelujah. For me, time is going. When do I want to bear that glory and show it forth? How many years do I have to still write that in? With all this, Buhari is there, Tinubu is there, Akechi is there, who else is there again? They are all disturbing my mind. Hallelujah. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Some of you, your problem is that you are beautiful. Boys will not let you sleep. Some of you, your answer, your mind will not. All kinds of problems is worrying you. Is it possible to hang those problems and deal with these issues? You think it's possible? I'm not saying that you should go to a monastery. That was what pushed them to monastery. Because they wanted to step away from those distractions and acquire that nature of Christ. But history told us they did not achieve it because that was not the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is that while you are living in this old crazy environment, you are changing. That is the miracle. So how can you and I live inside of this place and still be changing without letting those things not affect us? It's a thing we must find out. It's a technology we must discover. And I commit it to God's grace that will help you and I to discover in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.